Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Jeff Robinson. I'm the host of the show. And welcome everybody that's listening. Thank you for listening. We're going to talk about the man himself, continue our series about the man who invented the saxophone. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and the only, Adolf Sax. Yes, yes. We're going to start with the man himself. Can you think of a better place to start? I don't think you can. Come on, come on, come on, let's do this. Let's talk about sax. All right, all right, all right, let's move it along, let's move it along, let's get to talking. Yes, yes, yes. Again, my name is Jeff Robinson. I'm your host. Name of this podcast is Let's Talk About Sax. We have a website, Let's Talk About Sax. So let's get the conversation going. One thing I do want to mention before we get started, disclaimer, I will unfortunately mispronounce some of the French words and terms and names. I speak saxophone, but I do not speak French. So please, please, please forgive me. Now, the year is 1841. Adolf is 27 years old. The spring of that year, Adolf goes back to Paris to reunite with Hector Berlioz, who was 38 years old at the time, if I'm correct. They became very close friends. Berlioz was also a music critic of sorts, and he wrote in a publication called The Journal of Debates. So, if Berlioz wrote about anything in that journal that he thought was important, it got quite a bit of recognition from the locals. Berlioz loved Adolf and his inventions. So after Hector wrote an article about Adolf in this journal that praised the saxophone, Adolf became very popular. The title of the article was Adolf Sax's Musical Instruments. And one quote from the article says, and I quote Berlioz, "Composers will be indebted to Mr. Sax when his new instruments are in general use. If he perseveres, he will get support of all friends of music." End quote. The intrigue from this article led to a concert where people could observe and hear some of the instruments that Adolf was working on, like his sax horn and saxophone. This concert was held at a local conservatory and attended by quite a few composers at the time, including Berlioz, Halévy, and Habeneck, to name a few. I'm sure Adolf was very pleased to be in such company and demonstrating his instruments. He was quite a great clarinetist, so he presented his work as an instrumentalist and instrument maker. Everyone was impressed. And he got investors shortly after the presentation and was encouraged to open up a factory in Paris. He opened up his shop in a little shed that he converted into a factory. The address was 10 Rue St. George's. This was also the beginning of Adolf's trouble with the local music manufacturing industry in Paris. They were jealous about how quickly he seemed to rise. His popularity upset them. And one of the things that separated Adolf Sax from the local music industry manufacturers was that he preferred to make his instruments by hand. He hired a few helpers and he taught them what they needed to know, but he didn't have an assembly line. The other manufacturers had assembly lines to make their instruments. They would make different parts of the instruments throughout town. Then they would assemble the instrument in the various places where the parts were made. That wasn't how Adolf did it. He liked to supervise everything. That way he would be certain of the quality of every instrument. Now, once he got started, though, everything moved very well, and he hired employees. Now, it's 1842. Berlioz took a tour of Germany, and he saw the military bands there, and he was impressed. And he thought France needed to upgrade their military bands. And by this time, Adolf had made quite a few enemies. Just his existence threatened the local manufacturers of musical instruments. The quality of his instruments alone threatened their companies. So the idea of him having a relationship with the military and supplying them with instruments was insulting to some of the local instrument manufacturers, and they had to do something about it. A lot of the local musicians and instrumentalists, particularly the musicians who played in the opera orchestra, which was one of the most prestigious ensembles to be in, had relationships with the manufacturers that were opposed to Adolf and his work. They refused to play any of the instruments Adolf made because they had endorsements or were in league with the manufacturers against Adolf. Again, Adolf made so many enemies, like I mentioned earlier. And from what I read, they tried to set him on fire by using some kind of ignition or a fuse or something like that. It didn't work, obviously, so he wasn't harmed, but come on. There was an ambush of some kind, but he seemed to get away from that as well. This is what happens when you threaten someone's livelihood. But still, young Sax the Ghost always survived. It's unfortunate that they came at him with such determination and hate. He was prolific and obviously talented, and the locals just weren't having it. They had to try to put an end or at least slow down his success. They would offer his employees more money than Adolf could afford to pay them. Things started to get rough for Adolf, and fortunately, the military was very intrigued with his work because his business was starting to struggle. Now, a little FYI moment here, just a few things I want to add before we get back. From what I read, you know, Berlioz was a big fan and supporter of Adolf Sax, but there was very few, if any, saxophones in his new compositions at that time. He did rearrange a choral work of his entitled The Sacred Chant. But please, someone who's listening to this podcast, if I'm incorrect, please correct me. But from what I've read, there are no saxophones in Berlioz's music other than the rearranged Sacred Chant. Also, something to take note of is Adolf had concerts at his factory to show his instruments. It was easier and profitable for him to do this because he made all the instruments at the factory. It was also a great way for him to introduce himself to potential benefactors and popular musicians whose support he was lobbying for them to see and hear the instruments played at his facility made everything that much easier. Also, we can't ignore the Distin family of brass instrumentalists who took up the saxhorn. Now, I won't go into that much, but they were very instrumental in its popularity. They took up the saxhorn and toured with it. They made it a very popular instrument. So you have to mention the Distin family if you're going to do any research about Adolf Sax. They adopted the saxhorn and toured the world with it, including the United States, if I'm correct. Now, I'm not going to go into detail about the saxhorn because this show is called Let's Talk About Sax, meaning saxophone. And as I stated earlier, Adolf had a lot of trouble with the local instrument manufacturers in Paris. He also had problems getting his instruments accepted into the symphonic and opera orchestras. It seemed to be somewhat of a concerted effort to make sure that his instruments were not included. But the military seemed to be an obvious opportunity for him. His father, Charles, had success with instruments for the government in Belgium, so it seemed logical for Adolf to move into that realm in France. He had some support from a few local important musicians and writers, particularly Berlioz. So he sought out the military, and I believe, if I'm correct, they sought him out as well. The military musicians and bandsmen did not have the power to go against the ranking order, so that's where he had some initial success for his manufacturing company. So Sax received the military's interest. They pursued him and were encouraged by Berlioz and others who had great respect for Adolf's expertise and his instruments. But when the local manufacturers of musical instruments got news of this, they were highly upset. They thought of Adolf as a major threat to their livelihood. And in some respects, he was. So that elevated their plans to bring Adolf Sax down. But before Adolf could actually get this appointment, the powers that be had to do an inventory and survey the instruments that their musicians were playing and ponder why they seemed so inferior and what they could do about it. They did an inventory and sent out a plea to all the local manufacturers to see if they could help fix the problem. Seems like the only person that responded was Adolf Sax. And there was one other challenge from a gentleman named Michael Carafa, who was the head of the military bands at the time. And this was April 1845. Adolf was 31. Michael Carafa, who was also a composer and had written an opera, which didn't get great reviews from Berlioz in the publication that he contributed to. And because of that, they were not friends. Carafa was the head of the military band in France at the time, and he took up the challenge against Adolf. Carafa and Adolf presented their instrumentation of what they thought should be the future of the military bands. And of course, Sax had some sax horns and a couple of saxophones in there. The military proposed a battle of the bands, for lack of a better term, to determine which of the two musicians could foster the best band to improve the military outfits. So the big battle of the bands happened, and they both had their bands ready. They even had opening acts. There were tens of thousands of people out to see this event that was in an outdoor coliseum. This event had been advertised in the local papers as the reorganization of the military bands. It was a big event around town. Carafa's band played first, had great response from the audience. Adolf's band was shorthanded, and some of his musicians were bribed away by his enemies. He had quite a few musicians he needed to replace, and he had to prepare to go on soon. It was a very hurried and difficult moment for him, but somehow he gathered up enough musicians to perform, and nonetheless, Adolf's band started to play, even though the audience didn't show him much support because he was a foreigner. They started hurling things at his band, but that did not deter any of his musicians. Adolf and his band sat down and played the same composition that Carafa's band played and won the audience over. And this, being a battle of the bands and similar to the modern version of such battles like The Voice and American Idol, the audience influenced the outcome. The thunderous applause that Adolf Sax and his musicians received made him victorious against Carafa. Well, that was it. Adolf Sax proved that his instruments and his band were superior. The success brought investors wanting to help him expand his company. Now that he had worked with the military, that meant his company would grow. So investors came looking to help, and of course, that only increased the amount of jealousy that the local musical instrument manufacturers had towards Adolf. And also, after that success, he got a title from King William II of the Netherlands, crowned Knight of the Oak of Trees, or something like that. But that still was a symbol of pride from his motherland. Adolf was moving up in the world. But his enemies were not done, though. his celebrity alarmed them, so they organized. They forgave each other for whatever differences they may have had in the past to organize against Adolf Sachs. His enemies formed the United Association of Instrument Makers to conspire against Adolf. It got accredited and was a legal local society with a constitution that came together shortly after he was appointed as head of the military bands. The society formed in May of 1845, which was very shortly after the battle. Also in 1845, Adolf began improving the saxophone and he sought out a formal patent. And this is also when the association attacked, saying that he did not invent the saxophone, and that again, it was just him stealing ideas from other manufacturers and labeling them as his own. It is reported that Adolf Sachs was not an easy person to get along with and had a huge ego and was arrogant. It was also known to be, he was known to be very kind and somewhat gentle and approachable, and that his arrogance only showed when he was being challenged, and it seems like he was constantly challenged. He was invariably in court defending his patents and fighting off his enemies and detractors for the majority of his life. So I can understand why he would be bitter. He obviously was a great musician and a great maker of musical instruments. I can see how one can become bitter and arrogant considering you're always in court defending your hard work. A lot of the manufacturers started coming at Adolf saying he didn't invent the saxophone, and several other instrument makers and the association took Adolf to court for decades about his various instruments. One instrument that they wanted to incriminate Adolf with stealing or adapting his saxophone after was called the bathophone. The bathophone looks basically like a bass clarinet or a contrabass clarinet, and I'd like to think that Adolf knew what that was. He was quite the clarinetist, and maybe he did use some of the ideas for the saxophone, but the clarinet is not a saxophone, so I don't think that would stick. All kinds of trickery was used to try to convince the courts that Adolf didn't invent the saxophone. I've read that his opposition bought a few of Adolf's saxophones, scraped off the engravings of Adolf's name, shipped the saxophones elsewhere, had them shipped back to Paris with different engravings, and saying to the court, look, someone else had already invented the saxophone. And of course, that didn't work. Well, after a few lawsuits, the court finally granted Adolf Sachs his patent for the family of saxophones on the 22nd of June in 1846. Still, the association was successful in slowing down his production by bribing some of his workmen to leave Adolf Sachs. And there's an interesting story about Sachs trying to cut costs and hire workers to replace the ones that left by going to local prisons and getting the inmates and training them on the production of the saxophone while they were in prison. And when the inmates were released from jail, they went straight to Adolf Sachs's factory looking for work, and he denied them. Okay, things changed dramatically for Adolf Sachs and for everyone in France on the 23rd and 24th of February, 1848. When the revolution started and King Louis Philip was overturned, the king was a supporter of Adolf Sachs, so things changed for him dramatically after that. The new regime did not take kindly to Sachs and anyone who favored King Philip, and subsequently Adolf's reign as the head of the military bands ended, which left him with a bunch of instruments in his factory that were sitting there and piling up. With help from his friends, he kept his factory together somehow. Now, Napoleon III became president and eventually emperor of France after the revolution, and he made Adolf a member of the Legion of Honor. That tormented his enemies who were suffering during that time, as so many people were. Now, as I said, Adolf was a great inventor, but not the best businessman. He filed for bankruptcy several times. And one time, after money that he assumed was a gift and was given to him directly after the revolution started, was later found to be a loan. He admitted to the court, after the gentleman that gave him the gift had died, that it indeed was a loan. The deceased gentleman's family was looking to collect that loan, which was 30,000 francs, and Adolf subsequently had to file for bankruptcy. I believe this happened in 1852, shortly after Napoleon had taken full reign over France. In 1853, Adolf's parents moved to Paris to be with him. His father, Charles, was somewhere near the age of 60 and was having trouble running his own company. And since Adolf was doing fairly well in France, they moved from Brussels to be with their son. Most of Adolf's siblings had died, with the exception of Adolf's brother, Alphonse, who had made the move to Paris with his parents. Adolf was working with his father and his younger brother, Alphonse, in his factory. So things kind of flipped. Adolf was head of the company, and now his father was working for him. I'm sure there was a lot of respect between the two, because it had to have been great for Charles to see how well his son was doing in Paris. And Adolf was very thankful for his father to have directed him to fulfill his talent and skill. So I'm sure they had a really good working relationship. Now, Adolf did marry, or he had a baby mama, for lack of a better term. The research is inconclusive on whether he actually married or not, but he did have kids. The issue is whether he actually married. The woman's name was Louise Adele Mayer, and they had five kids, says some researchers. Some say he did marry her because she, or rather, he didn't marry her because she was of lower class. And some say they did marry. So it's really hard to get certain facts about that. The date of the marriage, if it happened at all, is vague as well. He did have a son, though, named Edward, Adolf Edward Sachs Mayer, who continued to manufacture saxophones under the family name of Adolf Sachs and Sons up to the Second World War. That was 1854. Adolf's 40 years old. That was a good year for Adolf. Napoleon III appointed him the Emperor's private director of music. He also had another title, the musical instrument maker to the household troops of the emperor. And those were his official titles. His father had a similar role in Belgium. So the Sachs family had historically made great impressions on persons of power within their lifetimes. And having such a title gave him influence over those who had challenged him and his patents. And if anyone crossed him in any way about his patents, he now had muscle to handle his business. And he used that power by gathering up forces and visiting the opposition who had taken him to court so many times. He visited them with forces from the military and the powers that be, and confiscated any instruments that he thought were breaking those patents or interfering with his work. He did kind of step over his feet by not going through the correct means to gather up these instruments, and again found himself in court. His opposition said that Sachs didn't give a fair warning to those who had his instruments illegally. So he went and got the correct paperwork, gave them the warning that they asked for. Then he went and confiscated all the instruments from those that had them illegally. Okay, a little another FYI moment before we wrap up this podcast. Something else that needs to be noted about Adolf Sachs was that not only did he invent the saxophone and the saxon, but that wasn't an instrument that he wasn't interested in improving. He tried to improve the piano. He tried to improve the timpani drums. He attempted to improve every kind of instrument out there. He invented a ten-headed trombone that looked like something out of a Godzilla movie. He was prolific, to say the least, and driven, very driven. But there is no doubt he was a successful inventor. He was not a good businessman, maybe not the best father, maybe a little arrogant at times, but he was a great inventor. And everyone acknowledged that he improved on a lot of instruments that he never got credit for. Since the saxophone is such a dominant instrument, some of his other work never got acknowledged at all. And history never noted some of the improvements he made to the clarinet. I'm sure he played fantastic saxophone. And I think it's okay to say that Adolf Sachs was the best saxophonist ever, because he invented the horn. And no matter how well Charlie Parker or John Coltrane may have played it, Adolf Sachs invented it. So is undoubtedly better by that basic association. I know that's open for debate, but let's talk about Sachs. And of course, Adolf Sachs had to become a teacher. He had to teach people how to play the saxophone. He was by default the first sax instructor. In 1850, saxophone started to show up in England and around the world. Like I mentioned earlier, saxhorn was a very important instrument in the American Civil War. And every instrument Adolf invented had the name sax added to it. The sax tromba was one that had some minor success. The sax tuba is out there on Wikipedia as an instrument Adolf tried to introduce. He also tried to venture into civil engineering and gave it advice about various things within Paris and Belgium, how to improve the water flow or the railroad in Paris. He was a thinker, and it wasn't just the saxophone. He was an engineer at heart, as well as an extraordinary musician and an extraordinary inventor. Charles Sachs died April 26, 1865. And I'm sure it was difficult for Adolf. They were close. Father and son, both prolific musical instrument inventors. Adolf was undoubtedly in debt to his father for encouraging him to pursue musical instrument making. I'm sure his death was difficult for him. His mother died maybe 4 years before that. 1870 was obviously a very difficult time for all of France. The French-Prussian War dethroned Napoleon III. That obviously made things very difficult for Adolf. And after that, he lost his appointed positions and had to file for bankruptcy, and he slowly declined, and his son took over some of his positions. Adolf kind of gradually disappeared until his death, which was the 4th of February, 1894. And there are also some research out there that says he died the 7th of February of 1894. He was 79 years old. But one thing is absolute. The saxophone is a beautiful instrument, a mixture of woodwind and brass, and still a major force, and arguably the most popular wind instrument in the world. Thank you, Adolf Sachs. Thank you, Antoine Joseph Sachs. Let's talk about sax. Yes, 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 yes. I want to thank Reactor Productions for this theme song. I just love it. Love it. Come on, a little bit more of it. I want to thank Joe Stewart for sound reconstruction, Anchor for podcast distribution. I want to thank my editor, Rebecca Robinson, Levitate Web Solutions for production of the podcast. Yes. The next podcast is a little addendum about the web presence of Adolph Sax. There's quite a bit of information out there, as well as some projects that people have taken on. So I think it's very important to acknowledge the web presence of anyone or anything that we talk about on Let's Talk About Sax. So that's something that we're going to get into a lot. We're called Let's Talk About Sax. The next show after the addendum is about a gentleman in Belgium who's keeping Adolph Sax and his work alive. Website, letstalkaboutsax.com. My name is Jeff Robinson. Let's talk about sax, y'all.